This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. There are many obstacles to health care in the United States. Many of these obstacles are financial, and there's a core issue that researchers and healthcare professionals have been focusing on recently, housing.
Housing instability and its health implications are a core part of Dr. Megan Sandel's work. Dr. Sandel is a professor of pediatrics and environmental health at Boston University. She's also a nationally recognized expert on housing and child health, who will share her expertise at Wauwatosa United Methodist Church tomorrow night.
Dr. Sandel spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers by phone from Boston, and she starts by explaining some of the many ways that housing can impact a person's health.
I think that housing can impact health in four really important ways. First is housing quality, right? Is your home, clean and dry and doesn't have pests or other things? But also, is it sometimes filled with light and fresh air, and sometimes even being able to see greenery around your house are all parts of housing quality that either promote health or prevent adverse health. The second kind of dimension, or the second wall in how housing impacts health, is about stability, right? Are you not moving frequently? Are you not worried about being evicted? Are you able to feel confident that you're going to stay in your house and that it's kind of a safe place for you? The third part, honestly, is affordability. Are you straining to pay your rent or mortgage each month? Are you worried about it? Are you potentially at risk of becoming homeless because you can't afford where you're living? And then this kind of fourth dimension after kind of quality, stability, affordability is, where's your home location? Are you in a neighborhood that feels safe? Are you in a neighborhood where you can walk to a grocery store or to transportation options? And again, is there open space or greenery around you? All of those are really important aspects in how where you live can impact your health.
And have very clear connections to your health.
I think what's amazing is how much research is now coming out in all of these dimensions in how housing can impact health.
Yeah. You know, you work specifically with children, and a big part of your work is about the importance of housing for a child's health. How many children who are going in for medical care are homeless or facing housing instability?
Yeah, it's a great question. We recently studied this through a research policy network that I'm part of called Children's Health Watch. We interview families with young children, kids under 4 years of age, in five cities, in Baltimore, Philadelphia, Boston, Little Rock, and Minneapolis. And we interviewed these families with young children that were renters. And we were pretty shocked that a third of them were reporting to us that they had a form of housing instability, either that they were homeless or had a history of homelessness, or that they had moved at least twice in the past year, or they had fallen behind on rent at least once in the past year. So I think it's incredibly common, actually. I think it's much more common than people think. Recent studies suggest that 20 million families across the country spend more than 50% of their take-home income on rent. And so when we think about what's going on, I think this is a problem in every community.
Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing number there, one-third of families.
Yeah. And I think what's been interesting is we've started just actively screening for it. When you come in to a pediatric visit, we hand you a questionnaire called a Thrive questionnaire. And we ask you about your housing situation. Are you having trouble affording enough food? Do you have trouble paying for your heat or your light bill, transportation, and other things? And I think what's amazing about it is that we understand more and more that medical care is not enough for health, that your social determinants of health, like where you live and whether you have enough food or access to job, education, transportation, are more important to your overall health outcomes. And so you're going to hear more and more about health systems intervening in this space, because we recognize more and more that in order to be a health system, it can't just be about medical care. We have to take on all of the aspects of health in order to improve outcomes.
So when we're talking about children specifically, what are the health implications of, housing instability?
Yeah, more and more housing instability can affect children's health in multiples of ways. First and foremost, it can affect, you know, your general health. Are you feeling well? Are you able to be active in your life? I think the second is in how you develop, right? Are you learning like what you're normally supposed to do, exploring your environment, being able to honestly sleep through the night and be able to grow like a normal child? And then obviously we know that education can be one of the strongest predictors of overall health. And we know that kids who move frequently are more likely to have difficulty in school, to actually maybe need to be retained a grade or to score lower on standardized tests. And that has huge implications on whether, again, you go to college, what type of career you have, what your lifetime earnings are, and ultimately, honestly, your mortality. We know that, you know, kids who move frequently are less likely to graduate from high school, and that's one of the strongest predictors of overall health.
Now, a big part of your work is solutions. So what are some of the solutions to this housing instability, to creating more affordable, I'm asking you a huge question, but creating more affordable housing and creating situations where kids can have better health outcomes?
Yeah, I think more and more there are solutions. I think it sometimes feels like housing is this insurmountable problem, but I really truly believe that we can come together as communities to increase health through housing stability. First and foremost, we need to prevent homelessness before it occurs. And so being able to actively ask people about their housing situations and to be able to prevent evictions and to be able to help families if they have, say, emergency costs that force them to fall behind on bills, intervene so they don't end up in homeless shelters is incredibly important. I also think that we need to be investing in more affordable housing options for people across the income span, people who are both low income but also moderate income, and make housing affordability, even for home ownership, more available. We at Children's Health Watch investigated what did we think were the avoidable health costs related to unstable housing in children and families. We came up with a number of $111 billion over 10 years. And so while people talk about what the costs of making sure everyone have a stable home is, that implies we're not spending that money now. And we are. This is costing us billions of dollars of avoidable health costs because we aren't investing in that future. And then finally, I think that we should be creating more investment vehicles to build housing. So that can be where health systems or banks or other types of community institutions actually invest in affordable housing, trust funds, and others in order to build long-term affordable housing in communities as a resource to be able to have healthier communities overall.
Well, and to your point about, you know, the amount of money that we're currently spending to kind of wrap around these services, I'm sure you're familiar with Million Dollar Murray, a man who, you know, they studied, was homeless, chronically homeless, and just studied how much money they were spending to wrap services around homeless people more generally. And they found they were spending so much. It spurred a lot of Housing First initiatives, including one in the city of Milwaukee. What do you think of those initiatives?
Yeah, I think that more and more, when you really look at the root cause of a lot of high cost, high need patients like Million Dollar Murray, the root cause often is homelessness. We started looking at the hospital that I work at, Boston Medical Center. We looked at our top 2% of high utilizing patients, patients that cost us regularly more than $100,000 a year, and 40% of them were homeless or housing unstable. And what we found was even when we did these amazing complex care management programs, we really didn't move the dial unless we addressed their underlying housing instability and homelessness. And so I think that's where you're going to see health systems start to think both short-term and long-term. Are there ways in which we can partner with housing programs? I'm not saying that hospitals should become landlords and build their own housing, but we can invest in housing partnerships with public housing authorities and with other affordable housing community developers to create more affordable housing options. Honestly, if we just take a handful of really expensive patients and decrease their utilization, we may be able to pay for childcare in the community or other types of investments that may be more upstream that may be able to create healthier people of the future. I don't want to just focus on the high cost, high need patients, but I do think that we can start thinking about ways to bend the cost curve with them that may free up dollars that allow us to be focused more on prevention and to be able to focus more on families and children as housing stable options too.
Well, and that's a big part of this equation, right? Part of the reason that we do these housing first initiatives is so preventative care is more accessible. And so when people, you know, have a medical regimen that they are on, they can keep up with it as opposed to living in perhaps a homeless encampment where their belongings are often sifted through by perhaps other people or even the police, and they don't have the ability to keep up with these kinds of regimens.
Yeah, I think more and more you're going to see health systems really focused on what we call more upstream approaches. So when we talk about, you know, taking care of really sick patients and trying to help them with their chronic diseases or their mental illness, substance use disorders and others, that is an incredibly intensive intervention, and it's pretty far downstream from where they were at sometimes as young adults or as children. And so more and more, we are trying to not just focus on those kind of, you know, really, really sick patients, those kind of almost tertiary prevention programs, but then are we able to get to more secondary and primary prevention? Are we able to get more upstream? And there are ways in which we can do that both with individual patients, but also with communities, right? We mapped where most of our super utilizing patients lived, and they lived in 5 zip codes right around our hospital. And so that has been kind of spurring us as a hospital to create a housing initiative with $6.5 million in those 5 targeted zip codes as a way to create housing partnerships so we can invest in housing, not just for our high cost, high need patients, but also potentially for everyone who lives in the community. And therefore we can try and change the trajectory of their lives and be able to move more upstream.
Well, and do that from the moment they're children, right?
Yeah. And I think children, there's no better payoff than investing in young children, right? You know, that is where the long-term sustainability is. I think, unfortunately, a lot of times we ask models to show a short-term return on investment and can't take the long view. And I just think more and more we have to take a community-level approach where we think both short-term and long-term. We think about ways in which to create efficiencies now, but then reinvest those savings for that long-term approach. So we're not just constantly going downstream and being able to do all these emergency things. No, we need to do prevention so we don't have to do them in the future.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Megan Sandel, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work with me today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to coming to Milwaukee in a couple of weeks, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Dr. Megan Sandel is a professor of pediatrics and environmental health at Boston University, as well as a pediatrician at Boston Medical Center. She was previously the pediatric medical director at Boston Healthcare for the Homeless, and she's an expert on housing and child health.
She'll share her expertise in a conversation at Wauwatosa United Methodist Church tomorrow at 6. Dr. Sandel spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and there is more information at WUWM.com.